This is CliffCentral.com.
Just after 7 o'clock. Got some news to get to. We're going to have our hot sauce competition in a short while, and George Meany's going to pop by for Auto Central and a little preview of what's going to happen on their show on Monday, as well as all the motoring news from this week that you you love to hear. But before we get to any of that, you know, one of our partners here, one of the people who we love to get on the show is Lifestyle Home and Garden. Ben, you've been to see their place, and we've discussed a number of useful tips over the last couple of weeks. My only worry has been that I'm not the best person to talk to when it comes to gardening. I mean, I've got a garden, I've got some plants inside my house, but I'm by no means an expert.
Yeah, because we know a lot of things on the show. But yep. If there's someone better, we always give the opportunity to air the better voice.
Correct. And we try to get people who are really good at what they do and who are passionate about what they do and who know something about what they do so that it's not just a talking head filling space for you. And normally we get Robin from Lifestyle in, but she's been traveling. Apparently she's been in Amsterdam. We'll find out all about this. But she's been buying all kinds of cool stuff in Holland that you can, and not the kind of stuff that you think when you think Amsterdam. She's a very serious person who has a serious business. She goes to all of these expos where they talk about different flowers and different interior decor things and Christmas shows. And I know it's crazy that in July she's thinking about this, but she has to plan for December. So Robin will be here next week to fill us in. But before Robin comes in, I thought because Lifestyle told me this is the time where you have to talk about rose pruning, we would discuss rose pruning. And I'm very glad to have Gord Laws here today. To talk about rose pruning, because we know that's what you know the most about.
I'm an OG rose pruner.
It is time
from back in the day.
Gord Laws and rose pruning. This morning on CliffCentral.com. Do you even know what pruning a rose is?
Why, hello there.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, it's when you trim the rose so that the dead leaves may give way for new leaves and thus adorn the rose more fruitfully into the new season of blossoming that approaches now with spring yet upon us.
Well, there we go. You just got the whole thing down. No, I got my mum to come and explain this to us. Mum, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. I'm fine, and you?
Good. You know all about pruning roses because you've got hundreds of them, and you told me the other day that I had to prune my roses. What does this mean?
Well, there's a time every year in July, August, that you, sort of mid-July to mid-August, that you have to cut your roses. Question of being cruel to be kind, because otherwise they don't bloom very well the next season.
So do you think it's cruel because the rose it doesn't like being pruned, or do you think it's cruel because people don't like cutting these things back?
Well, it's my problem. I hate cutting anything that still shows any sign of flowering. Some of my climbing roses are still flowering, and I haven't been able to reach them, so they're still flowering, but one has to do it. It's like with children.
All right, so this is exactly the time. Now you have to do it between now and the middle of August, and this means that they will get all the nutrients to parts of the rose that, currently are unnecessary, that you can cut off, and then it'll conserve some of that nutrition. What is it? What's the reason?
Yes. I think it's a question of then it really wants to do its thing because it's been helped, and then they bloom, and they first grow beautifully, and then they bloom.
Hi, Mrs. Cliff. I'm Gordon.
Hi, Gordon.
Is it to do with the fact that you've got like significant root mass that can sustain a large plant? So when you cut the plant mass back, the root mass is now greater and can super nutrient.
Mum, you don't
the
have to answer that question.
You sound like an expert, Gordon.
I've grown some plants in my time, Mrs. Cliff. Yeah, not right. Roses, yeah. But...
Listen.
roses are very rewarding, but they're very full of you-know-what.
Mum, what tools do you need? What kinds of things do you use when you go around the garden doing this stuff?
Well, first of all, some nice strong gloves so the thorns don't get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And some secateurs that are sharp, because otherwise you're going to injure the stem.
Mm-hmm.
And then insecticides, which you have to ask for advice at these various places. Like
Lifestyle, Lifestyle Home and Garden, right? But hang on, my mother has this thing which she loves more than everyone in the family. It's got two wheels. It's like a trolley, and she attaches a rubbish bag to it, and she wheels it around the garden, putting all the shit in that she's cut off of the plants.
Yes, and it broke once, and it's been glued and fixed because I cannot do without it. Because when you have just a bag, it keeps flopping toes and your cuttings and things fall on the grass. So it's better to have a bag that you can dump it all into and then tie it up and throw it away.
All right, so let's go through this step by step. How much do you cut off?
The iceberg, which are the sort of stronger roses, I normally cut it hip height in summer and knee height now. So about 30 centimeters or more.
All right.
But you've got to be quite ruthless and cut.
Do you cut straight across or do you cut at an angle?
No, you must cut at an angle.
Oh.
And you hold the secateurs so that they point away from you. So the sharpest part of the secateurs gets the stem.
Okay.
Otherwise they bruise.
All right. And then you have to remove all the leaves?
Yes.
Okay.
The ones that are left on the stem.
Right. What do you do after that?
Well, then you've got to... First, when you cut a stem and there's a hole in it, it normally means that they're borers, which are those suckers that eat everything.
Yes.
So you've got to treat for that. And the best thing is to get advice from the nursery,
right?
Especially lifestyle. And,
okay.
You've got to spray them so that they can be healthy.
All right. Well, thank you for your help and assistance this morning. I've never had to get gardening advice before, and I knew that you'd be the person to talk to, so I appreciate it.
All right. I'm not an expert, but I enjoy it.
Pretty good roses. I'll send people pictures of them if they don't believe me. All right. Thanks, Mom. Okay.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
Bye. There we go. Some useful advice from my mother on rose pruning. So if you want to know exactly how to do it, you can get a printable step-by-step guide with photos. Just visit the Lifestyle blog. They've got a Facebook page. You can find the link on cliffcentral.com. Many people hate cutting their roses now because a lot of them still have beautiful blooms. So before pruning, cut your rose flowers and put them in a vase for your home or your office or whatever. You have to do the pruning to ensure that your future rose bush will be grander than it was before. So don't fear if it looks spindly after this. The flush to come will be worth it, they say at Lifestyle. That's what Robin tells me. Next week we'll be talking about, can you believe this, crotons. Do you know what a croton is?
No idea.
No, neither do I. It's a beautifully attractive, colorful, exotic, and simplistic variegated indoor plant that Cliff Central currently posts.
I love a variegated plant.
That's
man.
A croton
yeah.
over there.
Yeah.
That thing, you don't know what a croton is.
No.
All right, this
is that an actual croton?
That's a croton. This was an episode of How to Prune Your Roses with Gord Laws and my mother and me.
Thank you for joining us.
Right,
today.
Isn't that great?
But that croton, I've always wondered what those things are because it's like a thing that's a mix. It's right. It's like the bastard child.
Shut up, Gord. All right, very nice. There we go. There's a look at the... Ben, I saw you were paying very close attention to the pruning of the roses.
Well, it's like split ends, Gareth. You know, if you got a lovely head of hair, you've got to trim it a bit.
Mm.
You can't just think that, okay, well, I'm going to just let it go like Rasputin.
Seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, you don't get a Rasputin rose because you've got to keep pruning.
You've got to keep pruning. All right, so Bianca just sent me an email to say, first off, I love the show, and I got very unsettled when you said you were a little bit bored. I was bored with doing the same thing. I'm not bored with the show, don't get me wrong. Coming in on different days, mixing up the team, as you've suggested, is a great idea. Not exactly sure how, but maybe Sia and some of his friends one morning doing your show in the same way, and then some of Gord's friends another day. How about that for a thought?
My friends?
Yeah, I don't know if we want that.
Jesus, I don't want that.
The Cliff Central app, she says she's having huge struggles with. It's not running in the background like it always did, which means when my phone switches off the screen to save a battery, the app switch. Okay, well, listen, we actually had a meeting about this yesterday, so we're working on it. Trust me, we're going to sort it out. I have a similar problem to Hi Rob, so for now I've switched my phone to not going into rest mode so I can listen without interruption. But it is not conducive to my job as I spend a lot of time driving and I don't really want to be fiddling with my phone during driving time. So could you pass this on to your technicians? Thank you, Bianca. No problem, Bianca. Thank you. Very good. All right. We'll get to some news just now. We're going to get George Meany in here in a little while. There's loads of stuff to talk about this morning. But I've got a friend of mine in here who won a hot sauce competition the other day. And I don't even know what it was called. I just saw it on Facebook or on Instagram or one of those things. And I thought it would be a good idea to get him in here this morning. We've got a variety of hot sauces, and we'll all tuck into those. Sia went to... Where did you go early this morning?
I went to get some pizza. Well, yeah. Some focaccia, rather.
Sia woke up at like 4:30 this morning to go and get focaccia. They must have thought you were suffering from a serious hangover.
Well, they're open all the time, so they're used to these random calls. They probably thought I was drunk or hungover somewhere.
It's ridiculous. And we've got Dave Ribeiro in, who is a... He's the winner of a competition that he took part in where you guys ate some kind of hot sauce or something. And he's also a football coach. We'll talk to him about that too. Hey Dave, how are you, bro?
Good, thanks. And you, Gareth?
Yeah, you're good.
Always.
Where have you been training lately? You've been in Kempton Park.
So we were in Kempton Park. The National Under 17 women's team have been preparing for a tournament.
Yeah.
We've been there, and then we moved to Centurion. So we've been playing the BRICS tournament.
How are the women doing?
We won our first game 5-1 against India.
Nice.
And yesterday we drew...
India, that powerhouse of soccer.
Absolute powerhouse. And then, yesterday we drew 0-0 against Brazil.
All right, so you're a goalkeeper. I know this because you've been playing since you were 6 years old.
That's right.
And now you're coaching as well. So you just coach the keeper, right?
Yeah, I coach the keepers.
And how many goals have gone through, Dave, in the last couple of matches?
Only one against India, which was the goalkeeper mistake.
Oh, shit.
And also when they're kicking, it spins a lot.
And we're not our goalkeepers are not traditionally good at dealing with spin shots.
No, not at all.
All right, so you actually played for...
I believe I'm making jokes like Gord now.
Yeah, you played for the Pirates and Sundowns Youth Academies.
Yeah, I played for both as a kid. So I grew up in Pretoria with Tucks, and then moved on to Orlando Pirates, played a year there, and then with Sundowns, spent a few years there before moving back to Pretoria.
Is it really difficult to get ahead in football in South Africa? I mean, we all know that, you know, the PSL is not an easy environment for anyone to excel in because there are administrators and all kinds of other problems. I don't expect you to comment on that. But is it really hard as a player to get the kinds of, I don't know, whether it's advice or coaching or equipment or time on the field that you need, as opposed to if you grew up, for example, in the UK, where they have academies that are just looking for talent from, you know, age 3, 4 even sometimes.
Yes. So blatantly, I don't think our coach instructions in South Africa are up to standard. We are limited in the academies that we do have in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So the likes of Sundowns, Pirates, Chiefs, they are upping the game at the moment. Ajax have always been a powerhouse when it comes down to youth academies. But other than that, it's limited, so it is difficult.
So what would you say to someone who's really interested in playing football professionally and they want to get into it? Where is the best place in South Africa to do this? Who should you talk to? A lot of the guys who do very well and have the talent might not always have good management. I mean, do you have advice for people?
The advice is just to keep going on, keep pushing. We've privatized coaching now in Pretoria with Kuva, headed up by Kale and Steve Kutsia. I think the future of youth development is privatized coaching, getting the best coaching that you can. Unfortunately, coaches aren't paid well in South Africa, especially in youth development.
That's why you have to win chili eating competitions, right?
That's just, true, but that's a hobby. The money's at the top. The coaches go for the money, and
we neglect
youth development a lot here in this country.
And we could do a lot more there, obviously, if we want to get... Ben's always said, you know, you're stuck with the grassroots stuff, right, Ben?
Yeah, start with the plan rather than just like a couple of shirts and a ball. Start with where they're going to go. Where's the nutrition coming from? What's the next step? How are we keeping the kids in the game? Because it's about retention. Anybody can do a clinic, but it's what's the next step?
All right, well done with the South African National Women's Under 17 team. And I suppose you can see some of these matches if you go along to them. We're playing some, I mean, Russia, China, Brazil. These are big games. When do they happen?
So we have the BRICS conference here in South Africa, and that's the reason we're having this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We've played India, we've played Brazil. Today we play Russia.
What time is that?
It's at 2 o'clock mm-hmm. at the Wits Rugby Stadium. Okay. And then on Sunday we face our final game against China.
Nice. All right, cool. Tell me about the chili eating competition. I just saw this on social media a little while ago. There was like some big sweaty guy holding up your hand and you looked like you'd won. I didn't know that you had this talent.
So I'm Portuguese. I think it's...
there we go. Unfair start.
Yeah, it's in the genes. So a few months ago, I just saw an advert on Facebook calling everyone to enter a competition. Yeah. I entered. I left it to the last second. And I was expecting an email the next day saying I'm in.
Yeah.
I never got the email.
Yeah.
So I emailed them and I said, hey, listen, I'm...
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm yet to win. So let me in. I said, I sent them a link to my Instagram account. I've done a few eating competitions before. And
Have you ever entered the eating competition against Gord Laws?
No, I'm a marathoner, not a sprinter. But I'm interested to know that you had to like justify yourself. That they were like, nah, bitch, give us your credentials. And you were like, no, shit, I'm Portuguese. Here's my Instagram. Here's a picture of me drinking jet fuel. And then they were like, okay, fine.
This looks for real.
Like, I thought you could just arrive and be like, cool, guys, like, rad, here's my $20. And
they do this a lot in America. They have these eating competitions. You eat hot dogs, for example, and you have to stuff as many of these things down your throat as possible.
Yeah, you dip them in water because they slide down easier.
Right, but I've heard, and the most amazing thing about this is it's not big fat oaks who win these things.
No, it's not.
It's small Asian guys.
Thin, weedy dudes.
And without stereotyping too much, as Ben says, they typically often very Asian. But like you, they didn't want to.
Why
didn't realize
comfortable for you to say?
Because it's like it's a stereotype. But from what I've seen of it, it's usually like a skinny Asian dude. But like the chili Illuminati weren't originally gonna let you in. You had to bang down that door.
I had to bang down the door. So they opened the invite to everybody, and I think they sponsored a few ads on Instagram and Facebook. All and right. Ultimately, only 12 were allowed to enter.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm sure...
It's like Miss South Africa.
I'm sure there's thousands of applications. Oh, okay. So I had to send an email and justify.
Can you imagine there was an oak whose middle name is like Hellfire that got... you kicked him out of his seat. You had to unseat a seeded chili eater.
This is all he's ever had, this other oak. Yeah. And now Dave's fucked up his life.
You got Hellfire De Santos.
Or maybe he got an injury and at the last second, because of a last second injury to like Dave Hellfire Mazibuko, you got to like take his seat as a wild card.
All right, let's just get the rules in place here. So we've got a bunch of different sources. I brought all of these from home. We've got something that's probably quite familiar to a lot of people, the Nando's. Let me just see that, Sia. That's the Nando's medium, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the medium Nando's. So that's a peri-peri. That's very good. Very good.
Should we start with that one?
Yeah, we'll start with that one. Then we've got a medium peri-peri from Heinz. And then we get into the hot shit.
Oh, so I don't know how to rank these.
Yeah, that's the worst of all, apparently.
That's the one that separates. Let me know when they separate that you're in shit.
Right, let me read this. So this is the guy who developed this. It's from Cajon's Fiery Food Company in Westerville, Ohio.
Oof.
He says, we have raised the bar for heat, surpassing the Butch T. Trinidad Scorpion. Over a
surpassing, not the Butch T. Trinidad Scorpion, you don't, not the Scorpion, holy hell, I thought that was only spoken of in fable.
Over a four-year period, Smoking Ed's Carolina Reaper has averaged 1.474 million on the Scoville scale.
That's a lot of Scoville.
That's Ed Curry from Cajon's Fiery Foods. It says here that this contains the... very, very dangerous Butt Jolokia and Carolina Reaper.
Obviously, if it's got Butt in the name. Just hold that up for the camera, GC.
This is called Reaper and Sling Blade. All right?
Reaper Sling Blade, and you had to import that shit. Yeah. That's not for sale at your local shop, right?
This is one I bought in Texas and brought back in my hand luggage. Then there's this one, which is called Ruiz Portuguese Homemade Products Devil's Hot Shit.
Action titles.
I know nothing about this. Since the year of the Springboks, they don't give a
the
year.
The year of the Springboks.
I don't know what that means.
Goes without saying.
But it's got some oil. It's got Africa's finest chili sauce, 100% vegetable, pure sunflower oil, and preserved organically.
Nice. It's since the year of the Springboks.
You're the springboard.
So that's the actual shit of the devil.
That's the shit of the devil.
This one is wearing a black hood like it's going to be executed.
This one is called Ass Reaper. That's your ass now.
Okay, just for the benefit of the listeners, this bottle of chili looks like an ordinary bottle of chili, except that it's got a skull for a head and is wearing a black cloak.
And it says, ingredients, habanero peppers, Africa alurusin, Scotch bonnet peppers. Jesus, that bonnet. Doesn't sound... Yeah, Scotch bonnet peppers. That doesn't sound good. Salt, onions, vegetable oil, acetic acid, garlic, and xanthan gum. This doesn't have any description, which always worries me the most.
It's wearing a hat.
It's wearing a hood.
I might add, when I was 14,
yes,
I had a nice camera put down my throat, and I was diagnosed with stomach ulcers.
From eating hot food.
Delightful. From eating hot food. And the first question they ask as you get there, do you have stomach ulcers? Straight away, at the contest.
And you just said no.
No, I said no. Not applicable.
So did you suffer afterwards?
Inevitably, I suffered afterwards.
Wait. What happened? Did you shit blood?
Well, go right in for the gentle questions, GC. Ask a man about the blood content.
Did you?
No.
No, but you
felt
pain.
I felt pain.
If I had, I would.
All right, Dave, tell me what it feels like with these different layers of chili that they start escalating up the scale. Did you feel that it went, like, gradually, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10, or was it kind of random?
No, it definitely got worse and worse. It was supposed to be 6 rounds.
Yeah.
Too many guys, I think, were experts in this, and it went all the way up to 12 rounds.
Oh, my God.
The first few rounds weren't bad at all. A green and red Thai chili.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty...
Those are standard.
Those aren't even Portuguese standard yet.
No.
But we went up to habaneros, and the 12th and 11th round were 4 habaneros.
All right. Habaneros are not the hottest chilies
in the
world.
No, they're not.
The hottest chili of all is the Carolina Reaper.
Correct.
And the Butch T. Scorpion, which Gord seems to like the sound of.
This is even hotter than the Butch T.
All right, so we're going to do this. Sia, why don't you take Dave, take one of these for cut cheers. I'm going to do it. Ben, are you in for this?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
I'll film
it.
I'll film it.
Are you not going to do
this?
No, cannot.
You have to.
I like that we've chosen for cut cheers.
Nolo, are you
like
any good
neutral.
At this? You're not going to do it, right? Nolo doesn't want to. Do you want to try Celeste? Come in here if you're any good at hot sauce. If you don't want to, if you're afraid, then don't worry.
Focaccia is like the water biscuit of chili eating. It's neutral.
Yeah, correct.
The water.
All right, so let's get cracking. Everybody prepare your focaccia. And you only need to use a little bit of sauce. You don't need to overdo it. And we'll see how far we can go with
it. Okay, I'll try.
By the way, when George Meany comes in, we'll force him to do it too. So, all right, we're going to start with the Nando's medium. Sia, open that up for us.
Okay.
And by the way, Nando's make, in my opinion, the best sauces. I mean, they really are spectacular, right, Dave? As an expert in this field.
My favorite.
Yeah.
It's not a chili sauce, but their pepper sauce is awesome.
No, that's very good. These are patented, as I said earlier. I've been to the farm where they grow the chilies in Mozambique for all of this Nando's sauce, and they make the best ones. Sia's opening it as a fresh bottle. You can hear it opening up there. Sia managed to wrangle it loose.
Dave,
all right. Dave is going to start off.
Moment of truth.
Jesus, he's pouring.
Wait, I thought guys would just do like a little drop.
He's slathering it on. Okay.
Wait, how much are you meant to put on? Oh, my.
There we go.
Ben, do you want to try? All right, I've got mine ready. I'm at the ready. There's a lot of garlic in this. I'm gonna be a problem later on. All right. Are we ready to go? Who's filming this? Ben is. Gord, you be assistant cameraman here?
Yes.
So that people can get a visual representation of what's going on.
Can't stop my phone from making noises.
All right, let's go. Whenever you're ready, gents.
And they're underway. Gareth Cliff takes a bite of his focaccia and looks confident at the start.
No, this is not bad. This is very nice sauce.
That's just tasty. That's nothing but tasty.
I like Nando's. I really do.
And this is the mid-level Nando's, just by the way. They go higher. Nando's do a more badass thing than this.
That's just delightful.
Sia's also going to try some.
Okay.
He might scream a little bit. Let's see. Sia, it's not so bad.
Squelchy mouth noises almost certainly driving some people crazy.
We have our first casualty.
Is that... heat related, or do you need the Heimlich maneuver?
Okay, okay.
Let's go. All right. All right, very good. Dave, how was that one?
It was a good warm-up.
Oh.
All right. Next one. Let's try the Heinz. Let's see how that goes. Can we seal that bottle in the meantime, mm-hmm. the Nando's, so we don't want any pollution?
Hold that up for us there, Dave, once you've poured.
No, we're going to need that water later on.
Heinz medium peri-peri sauce.
All right, so this is a fairly, certainly judging by the label, this is fairly amateurish stuff.
Let's give it a go. See how this goes.
Mm-hmm. It's slightly different color. The Nando's one has a nice color. It's a bright orange. This is more of a brown, which worries me. Let's see. So yeah, tell us how it tastes. How's that looking?
Okay. There's an initial sear on the tongue with the heat.
Mm-hmm. I like an initial sear on the tongue.
Oh, God.
How's that one, Dave?
I'll go this far.
This one definitely has a different flavor to it, but not bad at all.
Oh, I didn't say
and
my
not very,
off.
Not especially hot.
No, not especially hot
okay.
at all.
All right, we're on to the next one. Now we're getting into the heavy stuff. Let's try this Portuguese.
Devil's hot shit.
Devil's hot shit.
From the year of the Springbok.
Since the year of the Springbok. Okay, so this has never been opened either. I'm going to shake it up a little bit.
I'm guessing that's either 2007 or 1995, but yeah, see, that's a big difference. I mean,
I don't know what that means. I have no idea. And this has never been opened before.
World Cup vibes.
So I hope we can get this one open. Oh, it's got a... Shit, it's got one of these corks in it. Anybody good at doing this?
Oh, crap ass. You need a bottle opener.
I didn't realize that. It's so hot, they've got the cork in it. No, I don't know how to open that. If anyone, have we got a wine bottle opener or something here?
Corkscrew.
A corkscrew? All right, we'll leave that one till last. In the meantime, you want to do the Reaper or the Ass Reaper?
So
which one do you want to do?
When given the choice between the Reaper and the Ass Reaper,
my default
is to just go for the Reaper.
All right.
I see we've been handed water here.
That's not good.
I think, just to let you guys know, that's a myth.
Yeah, water does not help.
Water does not help.
What is ideal?
Milk. And when I was at the competition, there was a lovely restaurant owner, and he suggested cucumber.
Oh, really?
Oh.
And that saved lives.
All right, I got the Reaper, which is the one without the devil costume on it. This stuff is apparently the worst one of them all. I mean, I especially went to this shop in Texas where they've got... I would say they must have had 10,000 different kinds of hot sauce in there. And I could only take two bottles with me. So this is the one I took because they said it was the most hardcore.
So you took the Ass Reaper?
No, this Reaper, the one that we're doing
just
now.
Just the normal Reaper.
The normal,
yes, generic Reaper.
The one that competed with the Butch T peppers and has like 1.474 million on the Scoville scale. Ben, how are we doing there? Are you managing? Ben's looking a little uncomfortable.
I'm going to be very honest. I took a very small amount. I think the focaccia almost like smothered it.
It's fine. It smells like it burns. Like it actually, the smell of it burns you. It's that bad. All right. So, Dave, are you already onto it? Not so bad.
Not too bad.
All right. I'm going to try.
This is definitely a level up.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the smell. Oh, the smell. Okay, okay.
No, this one burns. It really properly burns.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody watch Sia. This is going to be
exciting.
Sia, it's not so bad. Come on.
Okay.
Let's go. This is burning shit.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Doesn't it only hit you a little bit later?
Yes.
Doesn't it only really like nuke you after you've eaten it? This is now the one that literally has a skull for a lid with a cloak on it.
All right.
That's the Ass Reaper.
This is the Ass Reaper. You want to shake it up a little bit? Because it might be, all the good shit might be at the bottom. This is a vicious, ugly thing. Alright, so we're going to shake this up. Dave is an expert in these things.
Oh. Oh, Dave, you were extra generous, weren't you?
let's go. The Ass Reaper, ladies and gentlemen. This is supposedly the top one. Sia is struggling.
Mm. This one definitely has a better taste to it.
Yeah, it's quite mild, though. It's not very burny.
No.
The ass softens the reap.
Says he. Tell you what, you swallow this stuff wrong and it goes down the wrong tube. You're in big shit. Yeah.
Probably literally.
Oh, my God. All right.
This one is nice.
It is nice.
I'm taking this one
But over. Actually, yeah, they're not as hardcore as I thought they'd be.
No.
Ben, you managing there?
Ben shrugging it off like it ain't no thing.
If we mix a few of these.
Are you going to mix a whole bunch together?
I think so.
All right. Dave, this is your breakfast. What a healthy breakfast for a sportsman.
On a cold morning like this?
Dave,
no
you are aware
way.
That you've all changed right. color, right?
Dave's going for the...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dave is going
this
for...
normal?
Dave is going normal. For a whole lot of these now all at once.
It's he's like you suntanned for 3 days since starting with this.
No. I don't know if it was the devil's hot shit.
No, that we haven't tried yet.
Or the ass reaper that
just
changed
everything and let's see what
happens. Can't open the devil's hot shit.
This one's a horrible one.
No, you don't like that. All right, then leave it out.
We'll do just a drop.
But Dave's going to now attempt to eat all of them at once. This should be quite exciting. Here he goes. With
you want a
huge
bite?
Amount of sauce on there.
I'll toast you with the ass reaper. Cheers.
Cheers, cheers.
All right, Dave's gone for it. He's taken a mouthful, and there was a lot of sauce on there. Is it going down well?
The combination makes it taste better.
See, you're an animal.
All right, wow. Look at that. Unbelievable.
Okay.
So, yeah, you handled. I was
ass
very
reaper's
impressed.
Better.
Ass reaper's
not doesn't
better.
Have much of a sting to it.
All right. My tongue is a little bit spicy right now.
I'm already on the milk. It's fine.
All right, very good. Oh, my God. All right, Dave, well done. What did you win for the competition, by the way? A lifetime supply of chili.
No, I turned that one down, and I took the 10,000 Rand rather.
Oh, that's a much
you won
better prize.
Dude, this is like a real... I didn't realize that it got so
it's
hardcore.
It's a proper competition.
I thought it was like a bunch of mates, you hit a blunt, you like sit around, swing dick for a little bit.
No,
it's
this
like
was in front of an
they
audience.
Have seeding, you have to qualify, you got to sign a medical waiver about your fucking ulcers. Then there's cucumber on hand, and afterwards they give you the choice between a lifetime supply of chili or 10 grand.
George, do you eat hot stuff? Are you a big fan of hot sauces?
I like hot stuff, but I must just say, some faces are red, especially Sia's in the studio.
Sia's struggling a little.
Sia's struggling.
He's got a glass of milk there.
Well, he was brave as.
Yeah, sure.
Which is the hottest one?
Dave, you tell us. Which one was the hottest? Ass Reaper.
I think the Ass Reaper.
All right, here we go. George, try a little bit of the Ass Reaper.
Is this the Ass Reaper?
Yeah. That's it.
I'm sure George is very excited to get his ass reaped on a Friday morning. No better way to start the day than with
this
a good
skeleton
ass
doesn't
reaper.
Even have an ass.
All right, let's go. Let's see what George's response. Jesus, George is laying it on.
He's gang reaping himself.
Gang reaping.
This is handstand in the shower material.
He's approaching the focaccia like it's a crouton in a soup of ass reaper.
George, tell us how you feel.
Right now, fine. It's starting to burn.
Okay. All right. Go on. Let's see. This is
I think I should
exciting.
Sit down.
This is very exciting.
No, this is hot. This is fucking hot.
The eye's starting to water.
So this is Dave who wins competitions like this all the time. Is there another one coming up, Dave, where we can come and watch you?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, shit.
I hope any organizers will contact me.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
You know, I've got this reaction.
If they don't have... What's happening?
If I eat something hot, I start hiccuping uncontrollably.
Is that what's happening now?
Yeah.
It was pretty...
This is going to be fun.
It was pretty well thought through then to do that just before you do your weekly radio segment.
It's all right, Gord. You yes, that's fine.
All right, so at least we've had some dramatic effects here with, of all people, George. All right, Dave, thanks, bro. We will see you soon. Good luck with the match today.
Thanks a lot.
And make sure that you beat the hell out of the rest of these BRICS countries, and we win.
That's the plan. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, very good. Dave Ribeiro, everybody. You want to give out your Instagram or whatever? People know how to get you.
follow me on Instagram for all the eating competitions. I think the one eating competition that I did actually fail in.
Yes.
There was a 2.8 kilogram steak.
Oh, that's a lot of steak.
That is just sort of a 3 kilo.
I had a prime rib the other day that was, I think, 300 and some. No, must have been more. Maybe 500 grams, and it was too much.
Yeah, I made a 600 gram rump for me and a friend each. We each had a 600 gram rump, and we're both burly ass men, and we finished them, but it was like hard.
It was hard. Did you get the meat sweats?
Yes, we had the meat coma. Yeah. The whole story. I smelt of carrion for 2 days. So yeah, I mean that 600 grams was tough for me, and I'm not a featherweight. So when you say you failed at eating a 2.8 kilo steak,
how far did you get?
So I got to 2.2 kg.
Oh, sweet.
That's
Jesus.
Not a failure.
Did you feel how lions go and they lie down and their stomach's all distended and they don't move for like 2 days?
I know exactly how that is. Yeah.
The lion just lies there. I mean, is that what it feels like when you've eaten 2.2 kilos of meat?
It's not a good feeling. It's definitely not. I finished the 1 kilogram burger in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that was a good one.
I've done that one as well. Like, there's a couple of places that do that sort of
thing. Look at you two bonding over your eating.
What's the trick? Not eating for like 2 days?
Just be fat.
Fine. No, actually not. So, eat in the morning, drink a lot of water and expand your stomach.
Yeah.
But if you don't eat for 2 days, your stomach just shrinks, and then be able to.
What the audience aren't seeing is that you're like an athletic, handsome.
he's
I was going to say, he looks like, what is that swimmer dude, that South African, you look as fit as him.
Who does he look like?
Chad LeClerc.
No.
But I mean, you're like a pro football goalkeeper dude. You're not a fat oak, is what I'm saying. And I wouldn't be able to eat 2.2 kilos of steak. And I am a certified fat person. I'll show you my I've got a card.
You got your card.
I think a big factor is actually mind over matter.
Yeah.
We all think we can't, but put your head down and put it in your mouth.
That's how I overeat with that sort of belief.
So actually the key here is I'm understanding that you shouldn't starve yourself before.
No.
Because then your stomach will shrink. You need to actually keep eating and drink a lot of water, expand your stomach. Because your stomach is your enemy here. It can only take so much.
Absolutely. So I actually made a mistake that morning. I ate a few slices of pizza. That was definitely a mistake. When I got to the 2.8 kilogram challenge, the guy did have a laugh at me. So I was too skinny and would never be able to finish it.
Yes.
He was right, but I will be going back and I will be finishing that one.
All right, damn right. So how do we find you on Instagram? You were about to give us the address.
Yeah, so follow me on Instagram. It's the_DavidRibeiro.
The_DavidRibeiro.
That's it.
All right, and people know how to spell Ribeiro?
They never do. It's Ribeiro.
There we go.
That's all it.
Right. Very good. All right, Dave. Thanks, bro.
Thanks
nice
for
to see you.
E before I, especially after B.
Sorry. Did you just make up a new grammar rule?
I did, yeah.
Oh, God. I'm trying to get over you getting into the meat coma with smelling
the
carrion.
The carrion sweats, yeah. Vultures start to circle you. you smell like one of those butchery delivery vans.
It's so revolting.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, these hot sauce, I must tell you this hot sauce whatever you want to call it, focaccia, pizza bread, it's really good first thing in the morning. I think I'm going to get into a diet of doing this. And that Nando's one is the best tasting, but I would say Ass Reap is the burniest. And Dave just swallowed it all down like he was unafraid. And so was George.
You actually all did really well. I mean, Sia reacted emotionally, but he got through it.
Listen, I know there are people who cannot touch this stuff because they have an allergic reaction to it, and they start to scream, and they run out of the room like the hair is on fire. It's very bad. It can get messy.
I don't know how true it is, but apparently hot sauce or chili simulates burning reactions in your body.
Really?
It creates the sensation. It actually thinks you're burning.
Oh my God!
And releases the same reaction.
So this is how witches felt.
Sounds like fun, guys.
Is this how witches felt when they burnt them? No wonder.
Probably they felt a bit worse because I mean you guys are all. I don't think they sat around afterwards and had a chuckle like, oh, Bertha, what a burning! That was quite a burn. Hot this time. Oh. Those coals were particularly hot this time. I can't wait for the next burning.
No, I think they probably enjoyed it less.
Oh, Jesus, I've never talked such shit in my life or heard such nonsense from God. All right, we've got to move on. There's lots more to do. George,
I'm going to depress you now.
Are you all right, George?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, George, what do we got for today? What's the news? What's
a potential petrol price increase in August.
Fuck's sake, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't think you've ever said fuck during this report. Well done to you.
No, I shouldn't actually.
No, I know, but well done. You're right. That's how everybody feels.
The problem isn't the oil, the oil price. The problem is the rand. The reports say that there's a likely rise of about 19 cents per litre in August, 13 cents for diesel and 22 cents for paraffin. I think it's all down to probably the way the economy is rather than the oil price because of the rand.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah, it is upsetting. But now what?
I hate to say what's obvious, but it means everything goes up in price.
That's true.
Everything needs transportation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. When the price comes down, they never lower the price of everything else.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The petrol price always pushes everything else up. But as soon as the petrol price comes down, you don't hear people going, oh, well, we've got to reduce the price of tomatoes.
Yeah. They don't do that. I've noticed that.
Sons of bitches.
Bunch of dickheads.
Yeah. All right.
So then, sorry to interrupt there, but then when they put the petrol price up again, they will increase the price of tomatoes to compensate for the rise again. So they actually get the benefit of the fuckery.
Yes.
Sorry, back to you, George.
That's all right. So, to put some light at the end of the tunnel, consumer organizations are starting to put pressure on this fuel price levy, which hopefully we see come down, which will bring the petrol price down. But another light at the end of the tunnel is, remember we had significant petrol price reductions in February and March, which means that the petrol price would have only increased since January by 1.26 rand. So if you look at January to now, it's only 1.26 rand.
Only 1.26 in the last 7 months.
Yeah.
Not that serious.
Not that serious. No. Come on, look at the light at the end of the tunnel. And then everybody knows who Brad Binder is. You know who Brad Binder is?
No, I don't.
No.
So Brad Binder is a MotoGP rider.
Okay.
A driver, rider. He rides MotoGP. Started in MotoGP 3, won MotoGP 3, and then went on to MotoGP 2. And MotoGP 1 is the, or should I say, MotoGP is the one that Valentino Rossi and those guys ride.
Is Brad from here?
Yes, Brad is South African. Brad is the first South African in many, many decades to win a MotoGP. And he's gone on to win his first intermediate class Grand Prix since a gentleman by the name of John Eckerald at Monza. And
John Eckerald is one of my mate's dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
When did John Eckerald win?
So, John Eckerald in 1980, apparently.
Wow, you see? So this is great. South Africa has talent in this area.
Yep, and he's from Potchefstroom, born in 1995. So well done, Brad Binder.
Nice, nice work, Brad.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Nobody likes texting and driving. And
People like doing it, but they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Nobody likes other people texting and driving.
No.
So the UK is implementing a test where there's a road sign that can detect whether you're on the phone or not. And whether you're holding the phone. And if you're holding the phone, it will shame you by flashing.
Like being shamed. That'll stop crime.
Come on, Gord. You know it has an effect, right? I mean, you were shamed.
Shame.
Yeah. I mean, look how I turned out. A little bit of childhood shame did me good.
Shame. Okay. Shame.
So they'll put these three tests installed in Norwich, Norfolk, at a cost of £6,000 a sign.
That's a ridiculous cost.
It is a ridiculous cost, but texting and driving probably costs more. And then did you notice during the World Cup that the soccer players sat on racing seats?
I actually thought of you.
They have those at Old Trafford.
And my nose is still running from that devil's
ass sauce or whatever, yeah.
Do you know the story behind the racing seats?
No.
So apparently, the story behind the car seats go back to 1990. A company representative sent an email to Recaro, who makes the seats, and asked, "Well, why are these things on the sidelines?" And apparently, one of the team managers had a back problem.
Oh, okay.
And so Recaro decided to make a seat for him, and put it on the sideline, and this thing caught on, and eventually all of the teams started putting Recaro seats for the soccer players on the sidelines.
They are very cool.
They're nice looking. Makes a big impression.
They're douchey as hell to put in your car if you're not actually racing that car.
But yeah. Oh, don't say that, because George and Dave both have
Recaro racing seats in their luxury sedans.
Don't you?
No.
Do you know people who do?
When I was younger, I used to, and also I was involved in EFC worldwide.
That must have been interesting.
Yeah, and then there were quite a few oaks whose cars only were activated by the word boot. Start boot.
I was impressed that Gord actually knew what NOS was.
Yeah, of course. The nitrous oxide.
Yeah. Nitrous oxide.
Or the beat you button, as I like to call it.
The beat you button.
Yeah. I can help you make that stuff if you want to.
But those seats are cool.
They are cool.
And I think they're douchey in a standard everyday use vehicle, but they're super cool.
They're not very comfortable. At the office, we got 8 of them made for one of our boardroom at one point on wheels.
I see what you did.
And they were not comfortable. They were made for very short meetings.
And so you don't actually think it's cool. It's nice for the I thought it was implied that it's better for the football play the team.
Well, the coaches mostly stand up and walk along the sideline.
But the whole team sits in them, usually.
Mm. Yeah.
Dave,
yeah.
You don't have to have that shit where you guys are, huh? When you're coaching, you don't have anything like that.
No, we don't.
Well, you're lucky if you get a plastic garden chair, right?
Yeah. if we get a seat, it's a luxury.
But and a nachi.
Yeah, you get a nachi and a slice of orange at halftime. And you count yourself...
Count yourself blessed. #blessed.
Well, if you want to take the focaccia for the whole team, you're welcome. Well,
if you just follow @V_DaveRibeiro, the Dave Ribeiro on Instagram, you can follow the nachis and the plastic chairs.
He's going to be sure to take pictures of those today.
Absolutely.
All right, George.
And
what
then
else?
Finally, the Hockenheim Grand Prix is on next, and Mercedes reckons they still got the fastest car, and they didn't win any of the races in the triple header. As a matter of fact, Hamilton got pole at the last Grand Prix, and then decided to spin out, go to the back, and then made his way back up to second, but they are 8 points behind Sebastian Vettel at the moment. So let's see what happens at Hockenheim.
Nothing quite like getting pole at the Grand Prix. I'll just show myself out.
Yeah, it's time for Gord to leave. All right, everybody. That's a wrap on this morning. We've got an interview with Ted, who Ted was a guy I met in a club one night. He was in his 80s, partying with everybody else. And I said to him, "What is this? What's your story?" We ended up talking to him. Had a really interesting interview. Found out that he died like a week or two ago.
Oh, fuck.
And yeah, so I thought we'd play this so you could get to know him and hear his story. All of that and more is coming up. But first, it is time to check in on the un-news.
He literally jawled to the end.
He jawled to the end, Gord. I mean, that is a respectable way to go.
Respect, Ted.
George, thanks very much. Dave, thanks very much. Thank you to you for joining us this morning. And we will catch up on Monday, bright and early 6 a.m. Here's the stuff you need to know. Donald Trump has hit back at claims that Vladimir Putin is his master. He says the only time he supported a Russian was Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV. But even then, he did that because Sly Stallone was hitting his girlfriend. The DA is putting together high-end meetings to discuss the easing of water restrictions in the Cape. Musi Maimane is against this, though. Going through his recent Twitter stats, #DayZero trended the most, and that was his thing. So unless his party can come up with a new campaign, he's all for keeping those restrictions in place. Finally, the Proteas lost the toss and have been put onto the field against Sri Lanka. The Sri Lankan captain, Lone Ranger, Anda Silva...
See what you did there.
Said he was tempted to put the Proteas into bat, but considering that only lost a couple of hours, he opted against it out of respect for the one-day audience. We will see you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.